Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
2 Samuel chapter 12 this morning. We are continuing in this theme of noise recalibration. And we're going to look at it from a little bit different of a perspective this morning, looking at God's warning sound. And you see that here this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm sure if you don't know the reference, as soon as we begin to read, it's going to be familiar to most all of us. But you see there in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9 these words. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing saving a little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. I want to ask you this morning, what is the worst sound you can think of? Maybe someone here this morning might say nails on a chalkboard. Now, I know that would probably be for the older group in here, because not a lot of us have chalkboards anymore, but it might be nails coming down on the chalkboard. Maybe somebody else might say it is the screeching sound of worn-out brakes on a vehicle. How many of you know those are some pretty bad sounds? Maybe you might say, like me this morning, it is an alarm going off in your house. That loud, blaring sound that alarms those that hear it. Several years ago, due to unfortunate circumstances in our family, we had to move into the basement of our in-laws' home. Now, as I say that, maybe some thoughts go into your mind. I'm thankful for that opportunity that we had. It was a blessing to us. It saved us a lot of trouble and headaches. However, I quickly realized, moving into that basement, that I did not have all the information that I needed to live in that house successfully. I got a job in the interim as I was waiting for God's leading on the next ministry to work in landscaping. And much like here in the summers, you have to get up very early because of the heat. And so I would get up early, and I thought I would save a lot of trouble and noise by simply leaving out of the basement door of that house. And what happened in the next few moments was not a quiet exit out of that house, but was an early wake-up call for my in-laws who had set the alarm in that house. I had triggered the alarm that morning very early. Well, we were able to solve that solution, and I realized that I couldn't go out the basement. What I didn't realize several months later was that I did not, actually, they solved the solution by not turning the alarm on. That's actually how they solved the solution at that point. Several months later, I realized that I still did not have all the information needed to live in that house successfully. I was working right down the road from the house, that my in-law's house, on a farm. Christy and I believe just one more of our children and my in-laws decided to leave the house to go and pick up our other kids at a music camp an hour and a half from the house. And it was while they were gone that I was working right down the road on this farmland, and we were doing some work on that farmland, and we had to take our junk and take it to the back pasture. And so we had taken this pole out of the gate, and we were able to go back. And unfortunately, I had the great great opportunity to take that center pole of that fence gate and drop it into that hole. And what I quickly learned is there's a lot of field runoff from that cow field sitting in the bottom of that pole. And as I was looking over that hole, up came that liquid and shot up into the air, and it rested all over my clothes. It was a wonderful opportunity to work with my coworkers, and all they could do was complain about how bad I stunk. And so I thought the best idea, since I was working right around the corner from the house, was I would run home so that I would not puke and so that my neighbors would stop complaining and change my clothes. And so I didn't think anything of it. I was in a hurry. I ran through that garage door into the garage and into the house, and all of a sudden, boom, there is the alarm just screaming out loud, and I realized I don't have the code to turn the alarm off. Really quickly, Caitlin's dog began to cower because of the noise under my feet, and I'm doing everything in my power to reach someone that would have the ability to give me the code to turn the noise off. Now, I'm not a big fan of talking on the phone. It's just not something that I do regularly. I'm calling my mother-in-law. I can't remember ever calling my mother-in-law. I'm calling my father-in-law. I may have talked to him maybe once or twice on the phone. I'm calling my brother-in-law. I'm calling every single person that I can think, but you know what? I couldn't get a hold of anyone at that moment. The alarm's blaring. I'm kind of surprised that no security company's calling, which wouldn't have mattered because I don't know the shutoff code for the alarm. And they don't know me from Adam. And so I decide the best thing I can do is I take that dog, I put him back behind the gate, I walk out the door, shut the garage, and I leave with that alarm blaring for the whole county to hear. All right? And so I quickly realized that I was in a mess, and I left it a mess. How often as believers in Christ do we sin and we hear God's alarm of conviction sounding, and all we want is to try and get that alarm shut off as quickly as possible so that we can go on with our plans? We've talked a lot in this series of noise recalibration about changing the volume, about changing the channel, about blocking out the noise that is happening around us. And this morning I want to challenge us that we need to allow those alarm bells to sound as loud as possible when sin enters into our lives. And so we find here in 2 Samuel that David is in this situation. It's a familiar passage that illustrates for us an individual who has chosen to sin against God, and somehow and for some period of time has chosen to try and drown out this noise in their lives because of this sinful choice. But here's what I hope we can see this morning. God wouldn't let David completely shut off the alarm. David had the code. God had written on his heart. But David just wasn't ready to punch that code to silence the alarm. So God sends someone else to do the work that God was trying to do in David's life in this sinful situation. So would you start this conversation with me about recalibrating our heart to hear and to respond to God's alarm of conviction with this first thought? David's pleasurable sin. David's pleasurable sin. Now, coming to 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're jumping late into the game here, so to speak. It's as if I would have skipped telling you about that wonderful moment in my life where that beam of the fence post dropped down into that farm runoff all over me, and I just began to tell you about some alarm going off. So I would encourage you, if you don't know the story here that we are talking about, you can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But for us, I believe many of us would know this story. So if you'll go back to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9, let me just give you what we might call the cliff notes, all right? David's seer, he sinned, and Nathan tells him in verse 9, "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife." And what we know from this story is that David was the king, and he was supposed to be at war with his men, and yet he had made the choice to stay home at this point in time. Unable to sleep that night, he gets up out of bed, he walks out onto the roof of his home there, and he makes the choice to look out over that city. The Bible tells us there in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that he saw a woman washing herself, and that woman was very beautiful to look upon. I want to simply remind you this morning that Satan has and continues to work very hard since the beginning of sin in this world in the Garden of Eden to make what goes against God's clear instruction to sound and to look very pleasurable. The writer of Hebrews tells us this about the pleasure of sin in Hebrews 11 verse 25, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So here is David. He's looking out from his roof. He finds to him a beautiful woman to look at, and instead of capturing that sin-filled thought and walking back into that house like we've talked about through this series, David takes that look of pleasure and he fulfills it to its farthest end. Now, we have to come to grips with the truth that is always the goal of our flesh and the devil. The goal of the flesh and the devil is to destroy our spirit with God. Sin wants to take what looks pleasurable and fulfill that pleasure to its full end. But move with me to this second thought and notice the problem with sin that seems pleasurable. David's problem with sin. David's problem is all our problem. Sin brings with it challenges and consequences. God may allow those consequences to be delayed, but there are always consequences to sin. The consequence that God shows us is that Bathsheba, this beautiful woman that David saw, became pregnant because of their sexual sin. Now let's add a layer that Nathan showed us in verse 9. Nathan points out that David not only created a baby with Bathsheba, but his sin was with another man's wife. So you find here the alarm bells are ringing at their highest pitch, and David has to deal with sin with Bathsheba, or then he has to intervene somehow and deal with Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. David's story here reminds us that the problem with sin is it's going to convince you that while the alarm is blaring, you can get away before the police get there. Now, because I could not get on the phone with anyone while that alarm was blaring at my in-law's home, that was my first thought. How long do I have before the police get here? Can I get out of here before the police get here? And then I am delayed even greater while I'm on the clock at work. I know that's crazy thoughts, but that was my first thought. And so I walked out, as I said, I shut the garage and I drove away. I made my mistake, everyone else's problem. See, that alarm was still blaring. The alarm company was eventually going to call someone, and police may possibly eventually come to the house, which then if they could not get in, they could have possibly broken down the door. And so I made my mistake, everyone else's problem. With David, though, he couldn't just drive away. There's a saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you wanted to pay. David probably thought about that pleasure and he began to figure that that's all it would be, just pleasure. Yet that pleasure of adultery, sin number one, took him to murder, sin number two. Understand this morning, David's pleasurable sin cost him. It cost him sleepless nights. It cost him an individual's life. It cost the peace of God in his home for the rest of his life. The Bible tells us that he lost this child with Bathsheba, and it tells us that another one of his sons killed another son, and on it went. David's problem with sin is all our problems with sin. And so I challenge us to hear that alarm quickly and pay attention to the sound that God is sounding into our heart and into our ears so that we might respond as God desires for us to respond rather than as we desire to respond. So let me give you one other statement in this as we move into point number three, God's perfect wake-up call. Not only do we need to pay attention to the alarm, we ought to be extremely grateful that God is never preoccupied with something or someone else. God never takes a break. God never runs away. God is never too preoccupied with something else. He never silences his cell phone. And we find that God in these moments is willing and ready to sound the alarm. And you and I need to be willing and ready to go to our Heavenly Father who can give us the wisdom that we need to turn the alarm off and who is willing quickly to forgive us when we sin and we set that alarm off. God's perfect wake-up call leads us to where we started reading in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Scripture talks about God using the Holy Spirit to call Christians to action. We talked about that in our Bible study this morning, that we are to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We talked about the idea that God desires us to not quench or to grieve the Spirit so that we can follow the leading as the Holy Spirit leads us into the Word of God. Now, the Bible also tells us that God may use our health to wake us up. The Bible also tells us, as he shows us here with this illustration of David, that God may use other people who are led by God to give us the wake-up call or to provide us the wake-up call that we need when we've tried to drown out the alarms that are sounding all around us. So notice that God uses Nathan, someone that David trusted, to speak first of all, letter A, to his head. He used Nathan to speak to his head. Think about this. David was king. He was a very important person. But think about this. Not only was he important, I believe as a king, he cared about the people. He wouldn't want injustice in his kingdom. And so you see that God knows us better than he knows ourselves. He knows what our minds are set on. He knows our desires, whether good or bad. And so God gives Nathan this perfect, precise, and well put together illustration. Look at it again in verse 1. He says, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. Can you see David's mind beginning to run as the king of the city? He would have known the poor populations. He would have known where the richer populations lived. He would have known the amount of wealth that the richer people had. He would have known the struggles of the everyday life of the poor. He knows what's going on in his city. So here's the problem. David hears a rich man takes a poor man's lamb to cook for a meal for someone else who is coming to visit the rich man. Now notice what takes place in David's mind. Verse 5. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Now, we understand there's emotions that are attached to anger. I would suggest, as you see this in this story, that David's anger brings it to an intellectual ascent to reach a solution to the problem. David quickly comes to a solution that is going to take care of this rich man's greed. David, in his anger, was able to put together a quick and precise plan to restore what was wrong and make it right. And so you see that God gives to Nathan this perfect illustration to work in the head of David. And what you see is Nathan, God's servant, has done something to get David thinking about his problem. It's then that God uses Nathan to speak to David's heart, letter B. He speaks to his head, but we see he speaks to his heart as well. Look at verse 7. David says, you are that man. Would you say those four words with me? You are that man. Where was that arrow shot? It was shot at the heart of David to pierce his heart that had become hard to the sin that he had committed. David, no matter how hard, how long, and how many times he had tried to convince himself that he was okay, David was now faced with his heart screaming out that I have wronged a poor man and his wife. Notice in verse 13 what happens when God finally got the heart of David. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David recognizes that his sin was directly in a relation to his Lord, who had given him laws and commands to follow, and not only for him to follow, but to give to other people to follow. And so God woke up David to the reality that his sin had affected other families, but more importantly, it had affected his own relationship with God. And so you see that God brings Nathan into David's life to speak to his head, to speak to his heart, and we find God using Nathan to bring the spirit of repentance into the heart of David, and David begins to turn his sin over to God. As we begin to close this morning, I want to draw your attention to one of the many psalms that God allowed David to write out of his experience. I'm sure you have heard many a times that saying, if you and I will not study or learn history, we are doomed to repeat it. And so I challenge you to take the word of God, take what David learned and learn from it. Psalm chapter 32, if you'll flip over to Psalm chapter 32 with me, and let's look at verse 1. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Just pause with me real quickly and at this. Think about this. David says, I could not get away from the alarm of God. You and I can learn that no matter how good we think we are, we can learn from David, you and I are never going to get away from the alarm bells of God. It was a burden to David. It was a pressure pressing down on David's life. So I challenge you this morning, don't run from the alarm of God to sin, but run to the control panel. Not just to get to the noise to shut off, but to get to the situation that the alarm is sounding. See, God wants to change our lives. He doesn't want to just change the sound of the alarm. Silence the alarm. He wants to change our lives. David shows us that. Think about this. As I left the house that day with the alarm blaring, Christy was able to call me. They were able to get the alarm shut off by the security company. And one of my first statements was this when I got to that music camp that night after wrestling with God for an hour and a half, dealing with my own heart issues from the situation. My first statement was, it's time to get that code so I can shut off the alarm. Right? I mean, I could have just gone through the rest of my life living at their house, not knowing the code to that alarm, continually setting it off. Is that something that I could have done? Yes. Can you and I sin over and over again? In our flesh, sure we can. Does God want us to do that? No, he wants us to get the word of God, hide it in our heart so that we don't set that alarm off, and so that when we do, we know God is ready and wants to change our lives and not just silence that alarm. So we know how to disarm that problem because we've been given that information that I need to avoid that problem. And so I challenge you to learn from God how to avoid that problem by getting the code, by getting the word of God and hide it in your heart. Let's finish out this chapter. David says in verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. How many of you are thankful we have a God that forgives? We don't have a God that condemns the believer. We have a God who forgives us in our sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time that when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not ye as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and with bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Real quick, you see that illustration there that God gives us. Let's not be that horse that has to be forced to change. Caitlin loves riding horses and had the privilege to go up to Kingman and ride in a competition the other day and trying to start barrel racing. And Cabo, sometimes her horse can be a little stubborn, but she's got that bit put in that horse's mouth. And she can yank and turn and pull and demand that horse do what she wants it to do. We've seen these dumb twists of news lately with Border Patrol using whips to whip illegal immigrants. And it's that bit is what they were trying to change into a whip in that horse's mouth. So that Border Patrol could change the horse's direction at a moment's notice. That horse, that mule, is put a bit in his mouth so he can be demanded to do. I want you to understand this morning, God by his grace has saved us of no work of our own. He by faith has brought us into a relationship with him. Instead of being a horse and a mule, we should be an extremely grateful child of God that wants to gently be moved by his grace and his mercy rather than being pulled by a bit in our mouth. Let's finish this out. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. How many of you are thankful that God gave David a Psalm chapter 32 that we could learn from? There was a lot that happened in David's life that went wrong, that sent off the massive alarm sounds of God. And yet God, in his grace and mercy, gave David the ability to write a Psalm 32 so that you and I can learn from the history of David so that we're not doomed to repeat it. I challenge you this morning as we've come in here, maybe God's alarm is noisy and it's painful at this point in your life, but God's showing you this morning that they are necessary to get your attention, and he's starting to get your attention about something that you are allowing to work into your life and to doubt the work of God in your life. He wants you to know that there's a problem. I would encourage you to recognize the problem and turn it over to God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just beginning to flirt with the sins of the world. And God's taken a Psalm chapter 32 and he showed you something that you wouldn't flirt with the world, but that you would follow, or that you would fall in love with the grace and mercy of God. However God has brought you this morning, and whatever God has been speaking to you through this message, I would encourage you, as we stand and sing in a moment, I have decided to follow Jesus, that you would just begin to ask God to work in your heart, to do what he's been challenging you to do this morning, so that you would not get up here and drive off with the alarm sounds blaring and maybe make it somebody else's problem, but that you would say, God, I know it's my problem and I want to deal with it today so that I might walk upright and for your honor, for your glory. Would you pause with me and we'll pray, and then we'll begin to sing I Have Decided.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website, and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.